Oh man, that went exactly as I planned it to. okay, yeah, this summer we're talking about vision. Last week, Reek talked about how we are valued by God. That is our reality. But we don't always see that because our vision is easily blurred. So today I'm going to talk about one of the signs indicating that we don't see our reality clearly. And that sign is pride. So I'm going to open us up in prayer and then we'll jump in. God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for your character. God, you have given us a value that we could have never earned. And I just pray that tonight you speak intentionally and individually to everyone in here. God, tell them what they need to hear. Love them in the way they need to be loved. Reveal what they need to see. God, help us align our vision to yours. God, we love you. We trust you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, like I said, last week, Reek talked about value, and he asked a question, what gives us value? So I started thinking about where in my life over the years I have found my worth, and I realized there was a lot of things. Appearance, friendship, romantic relationship, sports, grades. If anything could instill some value, I would seek it. I needed some affirmation that I was worth something. I'll begin with high school, Elena. Man, we've been talking about how embarrassing high school Facebook us's were, and it's not good. But high school, Elena, I played varsity basketball as a freshman. I went to a special school for science and technology, Gov School, what's up? And I came to Tech with a bunch of transfer credits. I won class clown as my senior superlative. And you don't believe that, huh? And I thought I was nailing being a Christian because I volunteered at church and I had this grand plan to feed malnourished children in India when I graduated college. So as I looked at all that I was doing, I deemed myself worth something. And I'll be honest, I didn't get what my real need for Christ was. I knew him, I liked him, he's a solid dude. But if I wasn't following him, I felt like I would still be a pretty decent person, still be probably good, probably successful. But then one day I was reading this passage in Proverbs 6, and I remember it vividly because it confused me, and I hate being confused. It said, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that rush to evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in community. I didn't really know what haughty meant, so I looked it up. It means to exalt or magnify oneself, essentially to be prideful. But then I didn't really understand why pride would rank up there with lying and murder and stirring up conflict. To me, those things seemed like really detrimental to people, and pride really just seemed like a small internal struggle. So then it led me to the question, why does God hate pride so much? And I have to believe it's because he cares about relationship. He cares about his relationship with you, he cares about your relationship with others, and he cares about your relationship with yourself. And so pride negatively impacts all those relationships. So I'll start with your relationship with God. Pride leads to distance from God. And he hates that. God really wants to be with us. But it puts ourselves first and kind of leaves God out of the picture. It's why pride is really the root of almost every other sin. It gives us this false sense of power and control instead of surrendering that authority to God. So we take credit for everything we accomplish instead of acknowledging that he is the one who made us capable to do these things that we pride ourselves in. Essentially, pride claims to be the author of what is really a gift. And so pride also leads to disdain of others. Sounds harsh, I know. But God has given us this objective value, like we talked about last week. It's the truth. It's the true value. But when we don't acknowledge that's where our value comes from, we have to find it subjectively. And our standard of how valuable we are is based off of those around you. Everyone kind of becomes your competition. You will feel superior to some based on this arbitrary criteria that you come up with. and you will deem some people not worthy of your love and respect. If your group project members aren't pulling their weight, if your roommate issues, I don't know, if you see someone who's not dressed in a way that you deem appropriate, all these things are just like these arbitrary criteria that you've decided makes you valuable, and when you see them, you decide they're not based on those. I'll give a personal example. I pride myself in my storytelling ability. And one time I asked this guy a question, and I am not exaggerating here, he told me a 2.5 hour long story in response. And I was just so mad because it was not a good story. He wasted my time for 2.5 hours. And at the end, my thoughts of him were just harsh. This criteria that I set up for what makes you valuable impacted my view of him. Makes disdain with others. It also leads to a negative impact in your relationship with yourself. Pride leads to insecurity. And Morgan's going to talk more about insecurity next week, but the two really go hand in hand because fear creeps in as you distance yourself from truth. Like Brian said, I got trust issues with God. And instead of trusting the value he's assigned, one that's constant and never changing, we try to work for it. It kind of makes more sense to earn it. So we want to place our value in what we do instead of who we are, which, you know, when you look at how we're raised, when we're kids, people ask, what do you want to do when you grow up? And then when you're in high school, people say, what's your GPA? Are you doing enough extracurriculars to get into college? And then you get to college, you think you made it. And then they're like, what are you going to do when you graduate? And so it's easy to shift our value or our worth into what we do. But as we rest in our own ability, it anchors us to something that shifts. So we can oscillate from being prideful, feeling good about ourselves, to feeling worthless, depending on our circumstance. If our worth is attached to something that is not stable, not secure, we will feel insecure. It just makes sense. And so I was thinking, can you just imagine how different our self-image would be if we defined ourselves by our God-given identities instead of our abilities? If when someone asked, tell me about yourself, the first thing that came to mind was, I am loved. And not just loved, loved enough to die for. I was broken enough that someone needed to die, but loved enough that Jesus was happy to do it. I know for me that thought was a game changer, and I desperately needed that because of how my pride played out for me. I injured my shoulder and was benched from basketball. When I got to Tech, I roomed with my best friend from high school, and I actually found my high school yearbook, and her like senior year inscription to me was, we're going to prove everyone wrong. We're going to be best friends forever. I said, yeah, girl. And then 2 weeks in, she said, I don't really want to be friends anymore. And no, I kid you not, she friend broke up with me. And so we spent a whole year in awkward silence together. Don't worry, made a new best friend. She was and is significantly funnier than me. And then to top all that, I got on academic probation my sophomore year. So college was a doozy. I really didn't know who I was anymore. I wasn't an athlete. I wasn't accepted by everyone. I didn't feel smart, and I wasn't the funniest. So I didn't know what was left that was worth anything. I kind of felt like I was spiraling out of control. I hated it, but I am really glad it happened, and honestly still happens, because it reminds me that I, someone who is broken and selfish and can't see the full picture, shouldn't be in control anyways. That power, it belongs to the one who created me and the one who's working for the benefit of the whole world. He's the one who can't be defeated even by death. And pride distracted me from my identity of being declared worth enough to die for, even at my worst, and tricked me into trying to work to earn that. But God says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So going back to my original question, why do I need God? I need God because nothing I can do would ever have been good enough to earn the gift he freely gives me. So what, like, what would make me enough to die for? This is for sure not my basketball skills. So what makes me enough to die for? Besides that he decided I am, so I am. So humility, exalting God as most high, that is how we combat our pride. And Paul exemplifies that in one of his letters to the church in Corinth. For context, the scripture will come out soon, but Paul had laid the foundation for the church in Corinth, and then Apollos had helped build it up. There were likely some minor differences in what they were teaching and emphasizing, and the people in Corinth kind of picked their favorite to follow. So Paul says this to them, "Brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, 'Do not go beyond what is written.' Then you will not be puffed up in being a follower of one of us over against the other. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not?" So Paul was saying, don't be puffed up because you follow me or because you follow Apollos. In fact, don't praise either of us. Don't go beyond what is written. Exalt God alone. Essentially, people in Corinth just think Paul's super impressive, and which makes sense. I mean, he planted a ton of churches. He wrote most of the New Testament. He was a very influential leader. But Paul's essentially saying, I'm not impressive. What do I have that I did not receive? And the same goes for us. We have no reason to be proud because all that we have, all that we are, all the good that we do comes from God's free and rich grace. So I have a list of signs of pride. It's not comprehensive because pride is just all throughout Scripture. I have a list. The first one being if you are a sign of boastfulness. Yeah, there we go. So if you desire affirmation and respect for the things that you've done. The second one being a lack of thankfulness to God and others. Third being defensiveness. If you are easily offended, I fall in this category, easily offended, have a hard time admitting when you're wrong, speak with a lack of gentleness, and are quick to speak and slow to listen. This one, really I fall into all the prides, but perfectionism, you kind of this feeling of I need to do this right so that I can earn this value. Talking poorly about others, planning out life without seeking God's will, the trust issues with God, as Brian was talking about. Authority issues. This one really gets me. This feeling of, I can lead myself. It kind of takes your trust away from the things God tells us. You know, whether that's the things he tells us to do in Scripture or he speaks to us in prayer, we kind of disregard it. We can lead ourselves. And also, he's placed people in our lives to help guide us. And so if we refuse to seek counsel, refuse to listen to their rebuke, it's a sign of pride. Anxiety, we talked about that a little bit, and fault finding. As I'm reading these, if you are thinking of someone who really needs to hear this list, that's probably a sign of pride, because pride filters out the evil. We can't see our own evil, and we tend also not to be able to see the good in other people when we're prideful. So some ways to practice humility. Humility is how we combat pride. So we start by being with God. We cannot submit to him if we do not know what he says. So that encompasses spending time with God, reading his word, and putting into practice what he says. It's not enough just to read it, but to do what it says. And second, spend daily time in prayer and thanksgiving to him. We do this thing at 8 a.m. prayer where we go around a circle and we have to say what we're thankful for. And we call it like lightning prayer. And after a while, yeah, you really have to dig into what am I really thankful for, because you get past the superficial stuff. And so, yeah, this time of I thank God that I can do these walk. Next one being seek counsel. Ask God for input in what you do. Ask other people who are wise for input. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Confession of sins. This one was really influential in my life and my humbling process and still is. Seeking and offering forgiveness. And this last one, I feel like people, when they see the word humility, they think of just denying their gifts. kind of thinking less of themselves. But God, acknowledge your gifts and abilities, and then give glory to God for them and use them for his kingdom. So those are just a few ways that we can acknowledge our pride and practice some humility. So I will pray it out, and then we'll go into discussion time. God, I thank you for this time to share with something I really struggle with. God, I thank you for the way that you have fought for me, and it's been a difficult process, Lord, being humbled. It's been difficult. But God, I thank you because it's helped me realign my value to how you value me. God, it's made me feel more secure and less tossed with circumstances. God, it's given me this higher view of others and helped me love more. God, I thank you that you are trustworthy, and I thank you that you only ask these things for our benefit. God, we love you. Amen.